The historic housing practice called redlining, which prevented black and immigrant families in certain areas from getting home loans, has had long-term effects on income inequality and segregation. Now, an innovative project is looking at the links between historic redlining and future climate vulnerability. The first Massachusetts city in this project is Haverhill in the Merrimack Valley, and this morning, WBUR's Barbara Moran takes us there.
The rain started just before Mother's Day in 2006, and it hit the Merrimack Valley hard.
This is just the beginning of a major storm that will last right through the weekend.
Look at the size of this storm now.
Already, more than 25 streets have been shut down like this because they're literally underwater. All the homes and businesses on these streets evacuated.
Andy Vargas was a teenager at the time, living with his parents in Haverhill.
I do remember my dad having to go out and buy three separate pumps because our basement was completely flooded. And then we went over to my grandmother's place, and her basement was, you know, almost halfway to the roof. Buying a $100 pump for families in those neighborhoods like mine can really, you know, hurt your monthly income.
Vargas grew up in a neighborhood called The Acre. In federal maps from the 1930s, this area was shaded red or redlined. Notes describe the immigrant neighborhood as an old and run-down section, with streets among the worst in Haverhill. Banks were advised not to give mortgage loans there. Vargas, now a state representative from Haverhill, says the effects are still being felt today.
When you look at the redlining maps that were created in the early 1900s, and you overlay that with the lowest income census tracts of today, they almost identically match up. And so that tells us that, you know, there are systemic forces at play from, you know, 100 years ago that are still affecting the socioeconomic statuses of families today.
And redlining may also be making people more vulnerable to climate change, specifically extreme heat and flooding. 2 years ago, a nonprofit called Groundwork USA started to research this in detail. They take the old redlining maps and overlay them with data from NASA satellites and flood risk maps from FEMA. Kate Mingoya is with Groundwork USA.
We got to ask this really cool question where we said, is there a relationship between historical segregation practices, and we're using redlining maps as a proxy for that, and modern day vulnerability to extreme heat and to extreme wet? And we found the answer was a resounding yes.
Areas that were redlined in the 1930s still generally have fewer trees and parks and more pavement and parking lots than areas that were greenlined or labeled safe for investment. And even though Haverhill has made significant effort to plant trees in redline areas, if you click through the layers of Groundwork's map for the Acre neighborhood, you see big red splotches for heat risk, black smudges for pavement, and spotty patches of trees. All these factors make the people who live there vulnerable to climate change.
How can you look at these maps and see the disparity and not move forward with some sort of a solution? How can you see it and not be moved by it?
Mingoya hopes the climate maps of Haverhill and nearby Lawrence will be useful teaching and planning tools. Although Lawrence wasn't historically redlined, it has hot spots and flood zones like Haverhill. Groundwork has been working in Lawrence for years, trying to prevent flooding from the Spigot River, which swamped the city during the 2006 Mother's Day floods.
This little neighborhood here was probably one of the hardest hit neighborhoods in all of Lawrence. You can see that we're in a low spot here compared to the surrounding neighborhood.
Tennis Lilly lives in Lawrence and works as a kind of tree evangelist for Groundwork, selling his neighbors on the value of trees and parks. He shows off one of his favorites, Kennedy Park, which does double duty as flood prevention measure an ecological oasis.
This is beautiful. This is quite green. You have this nice pond here. You'll have red-winged blackbirds nesting in here. You'll have ducks and geese. You have the beaver. There are turtles in there. The open space functions as flood storage.
Back in Haverhill, State Rep Andy Vargas has his own creative solutions in mind. He'd like to see state money to help people retrofit their homes and make them climate ready, so they don't have to pay extra for air conditioning and basement pumps.
Some people like to separate, you know, economic problems with climate problems and say we can only do one or the other, but they're inextricably tied to each other.
Vargas says he hopes the new maps can help people see those connected problems and also opportunities to fix them. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Barbara Moran.